Hey Brian, hey Rick, Shooter McGavin here on a Masters weekend, day two. Wow. So I heard your From the Tips podcast is kind of badass.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of From the Tips, episode number 100, the big triple digit epi here. It's been a ride, buddy.
It has been a ride. It's been a long ride.
That means that we've been at this for, we have sat here, wherever it is that we were at the times, gotten on this very Zoom call 100 times.
It's crazy.
Just to talk to each other, which we do frequently anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it.
It's funny to me because, like, I have the two podcasts, and the other one is really just an excuse for me to stay in contact with people that I was, like, in the radio station with in college. And this one, it's like, no, like, I see you like 2 to 3 times a week on average.
Uh-huh.
We don't need an excuse to talk to each other, but here we are. Here we are.
Do it anyway.
We're going to do it anyways. Episode 100, what we really want to say immediately and first of all is thank you so much, obviously, for being along this 100 episode journey with us, mostly because, like, we're not, I wouldn't say very, like, skilled at this. We're kind of just, like, going with it and flying by the seat of our pants a little bit.
Which we could be if we wanted to, because I heard podcasting is now a degree over in Europe. Did you hear about that?
It is not.
Yeah, there's a college over in Europe. I don't remember what it was called, but they officially announced that they're doing a curriculum fully around podcasting, and you can get your degree in podcasting.
Isn't that just a broadcast? I have one of those. It's just a broadcasting degree.
This one's specifically podcasting, it says.
Well, I guess maybe they have, like, ways to, like, help you figure out how to monetize something like that. But I mean, we're 100 episodes in, Rick, and we are 47 listens away from 2,000, which means we are moving at almost a 10 listener per podcast clip, which means per episode, on average, 10 people decide to hit play and listen to us talk nonsense to whomever you two people are, or not, yeah. To whoever your 10 people are.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Second of all, have you debated maybe seeking mental health?
Also, 10 people might not sound like a lot, but you got to consider the fact that we just hop on here and talk. And half the time, it's not even about golf.
I would say 50%, maybe less, of every episode is about golf.
Like, we've joked about it before, about rebranding our podcast to a general sports and just general everything podcast, because of how little we talk about golf some weeks. But honestly, the fact that you guys still are listening, whether it's for the golf that comes up every once in a while, whether you just wanted to hear about the days of the week, sorry about that, we're on the sports history now, we got to switch it up at some point,
it had to get switched eventually.
Whether you just love hearing our angelic voices sing to you through your speakers of your car on your way to work,
which we understand,
which is probably all of you.
Yeah, I would assume.
We just appreciate it. We're happy that you're here. We're happy to be here. We have fun doing this, and we're going to keep doing it. I mean, for the foreseeable future, at least. I don't see any reason to stop. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is we don't have any, like you said, the worst thing that might happen is we rebrand into totally something different, but basically not a whole lot would change about how the structure of the episode really moves.
Like, the name and the logo pretty much would be it.
Yeah. And at that point, to hell with it, we might just keep it just to get the reoccurring listeners. And they're like, do you think they still talk about golf, or they're just full sailed that?
Yeah, I hope there's someone who, like, listened to episode, like, 4 and was like, wow, this is horrible, and then, like, decided that they were like, oh, 100 episodes, let me just hear if it changed at all, and they're like, oh no, this is the exact same thing.
Oh no, they really have,
they talk a little more smoothly and say less.
It's yeah, like I because I went because it was episode 100 and I was like, I'm just gonna go through a couple of our old episodes and see if there's like any like reoccurring bits that we could talk about. The thing is like a couple episodes ago we already talked about most of the reoccurring bits, which for those of you who are curious, it's mostly mayonnaise. The reoccurring bit we have here frequently is mayo based, much like any good potato salad.
Yeah, I mean the best on-course snack, as everybody knows, is just a squeezable pouch of mayonnaise.
Okay, if you got paired with like a random, right? And you're just two singles, and you get paired, and you go out as a twosome, right? Say you're, I don't know, around the seventh or eighth hole. And like you're hitting it off. This guy is great. You're having a blast. He's cool. You're like, hell, I might get this guy's number and like try golf with him again after the fact. And my man pulls out a room temperature packet of mayonnaise, slides that bad boy open, and just mouths it like it's a power bar.
How does the there's two very different outcomes and scenarios here. How right. does he intake said mayonnaise? Because if he takes slurps it
like a Go-Gurt, buddy, just
like if he's slurping it like a Go-Gurt, like off to the side so that I don't see it, please never speak to me again and don't even look in my direction. But if this man just takes it out, puts it at his mouth, squeezes it, and explodes it into his mouth, and then chucks the mayonnaise packet and proceeds to hit his golf shot, I'm not golfing with anybody else ever again.
I'm never golfing with another human being.
Only person I'm golfing with for the rest of my life.
I'm telling all my friends, look, guys, I like you, I do, but none of you compare to Mayo Guy. I'm not golfing with any of you ever again. You're not Mayo Guy. You're not him. You're not him.
And he will be in my phone as Mayo Guy.
Just absolutely slams a packet of mayo, tosses the packet, hits a 350-yard bomb, probably into the trees, but at that point it does not matter.
No, if he crushes that thing like a frat kid who just finished his Bud Light and crushes the can and throws it before he hits his pong shot, give me that guy as my partner every day of the week.
Are we shotgunning like bottles of Dukes?
We're just chugging it. It's just a chug.
They do. They
don't
do
really
have.
Crush the can on a shotgun, but if you chug it, then you crush it as a sign of dominance, which is the same thing as the mayonnaise packet. If you squeeze it like a Go-Gurt pouch off to the side so I don't see it, that's very beta of you.
That
to
is.
Do.
That, you're trying to hide it. Don't.
Yes, and
don't
I will not talk
ashamed.
To you again. But the most alpha thing you can do ever is just explode a mayonnaise packet in your mouth, throw it to the side, and then proceed to hit a bomb off the tee box.
Just when I thought we were going to make it 100 episodes where I didn't have to put the explicit of E next to the show title name, you had to go out and say explode mayo into your mouth. You had to say that out loud. Okay. Okay. But this, see, now I have so many follow-up questions. Okay. So you're obviously cool with that dude, right? That dude that is like, hell yeah, I'm eating mayo on the course. That's fine. But now, right? Guy's got a little cooler in the back. Beers, sodas, you name it. You know how they have those like, full-blown, like sturdy, squeezable bottles nowadays.
Yeah.
He's got one of those in the cooler next to his beers. He grabs beer, he grabs that, puts them in the cart next to each other like a Gatorade bottle and his beer. And he's hitting it like a Gatorade bottle just progressively throughout the round. Like he's trying to just rehydrate, but it's mayo. Same energy? You're cool with this?
Same energy, and here's why. And here's why. Again, we have two different ends of the spectrum. One, if you grab the bottle of the squeezable bottle of mayonnaise and eat it like the dude in Benchwarmers eats the sunscreen, beta, not talking to you ever again. But if we're just cruising down the fairway and you just grab your squeezable bottle of mayonnaise and just take a quick swig, throw it right back in there, don't say a word to me, again, full alpha. Like, this is your cart, and I'm just riding in it.
This is your golf round. I'm just here.
Exactly. You gotta be whatever, and it depends on the end of the spectrum that you're in.
I feel like we're gonna have to make some clips this summer of us just squeezing mayo into our mouths for the culture.
Can we be the first golf podcast ever to be sponsored by mayonnaise?
Yes, we can get Hellman's and Dukes to battle mano a mano for the rights to our podcast. From the Tips, brought to you by Duke's Mayonnaise. That really just rolls off the tongue, huh?
Yeah, it does, really.
Here's what I want to do is I want to send them this clip. And then, like, in that email, also be like, also reference episodes here, here, and here.
Where we speak about Duke's Mayonnaise.
They're all mayo-based episodes here.
Like, four times in the last 2+ years, we've talked about your mayonnaise on our podcast, which, again, doesn't sound like a lot, but name me another golf podcast that repeatedly talks about one brand of mayonnaise.
Specifically, one brand. Hey, Hellman's, get the hell out. We're not a Hellman's podcast. We're Duke's, baby. There's one episode where we found the Duke's Mayonnaise Cookbook. We started reading recipes off it. I don't know how much more of an endorsement we could give you as a podcast. You're welcome. No free ads, so you're going to have to pay us eventually. So if your first episode from the Tips is episode 100 and you haven't gone back, you don't know what this podcast is like.
You are immensely confused right now.
I'm sure this is a very confusing time for you. You're probably worried. You're gripping the wheel a little bit hard there, buddy. Take it easy, okay? Soften the grip on the wheel. It's going to be a weird ride, don't get me wrong, but this is how every single episode since episode one has gone. It is probably not going to change. Here we are, okay? Here I am. Love me.
Love me.
All right. So one thing that we do pretty much every episode, it used to be the days of the week, and then we realized that those repeat themselves because that is how time works. So now what we do is this day in sports history. Rick, how about you hit us with this day in sports history?
I got one good one for you. I did some research on this one as opposed to my normal just looking at numbers and saying them on here. So I figured we'd talk about this dude mostly because the picture I'm looking at, he has a unibrow. Joe DiMaggio had a unibrow?
I did not know that Joe DiMaggio had a unibrow. Let me look.
For some reason, I pictured Joe DiMaggio as like a way better looking guy. This picture I'm looking at, not a great looking dude.
That's not a handsome fella. I gotta be honest with you.
He's a good baseball player.
Fantastic baseball
player. And the New York Yankees realized this in 1949 when they made him the first $100,000 a year baseball player for the Yankees.
Ooh.
All right. Now let me put this into perspective for you a little bit. The league minimum in MLB right now, I believe, is around $700,000. The league minimum.
Yes. This, I believe,
for the worst players in the league, they make that. Joe DiMaggio was like one of the best when he was playing. Okay. He signed a deal for $100,000 a year, which comes out to nowadays at $1.2 million.
Okay.
I feel like he got gypped.
I feel like there's some highway robbery going on here, considering today's contracts. You know, you got Trey Turner trotting around here making almost $11 million a year.
That's what I'm saying.
That's insane.
And, like, right now, if Joe DiMaggio got the same paycheck just with inflation, which, by the way, from 1949, apparently the rate of inflation is 1,129%. We got to figure something out.
We gotta
figure something out about that, okay, people? I don't know where to start with that. Maybe lower the price of mayonnaise. Good place.
Most certainly lower the price of mayonnaise.
But yeah, so $1.2 million in today's game. Could you imagine if, for example, the Phillies signed Trey Turner to a $1.2 million a year contract?
Highway robbery.
And it was a big deal.
And here's the thing is, like, Trey Turner, obviously a great baseball player, does not even compare to the type of ball player in this era that Joe DiMaggio was in that era. He's a three-time MVP. He played professional baseball at the highest level from 1936 to 1951. 3 years in the middle of that, he served in the military, came back, continued to break records, and has a career 398 batting average. That's ridiculous.
Relatively speaking to today's money, $1.2 million a year.
Which, yes, is a lot of money. I understand that. However, there's some dude who makes TikToks that probably makes more than that as we speak right now.
Oh, 100%.
Almost guarantee it.
100%. I got one more here that I just found. And for those of you that don't know, Brian also has a hockey podcast called On the Power Play. Go check that one out. Plug We're going to put Brian's knowledge to the test here of his hockey history. Oh, no. I didn't see any good golf ones this week. That's why it's baseball and hockey. I obviously would say something if
it is this day in sports history. We did not pigeonhole ourselves here.
But in 1989, the 40th NHL All-Star Game happened. Okay, happened in Edmonton. The Campbell Conference beat the Wales Conference. Now, I don't really follow a lot of hockey, so I don't know what that means. Because I thought it was just East, West, and Pacific.
You see, back in the day, they had the conferences named after, I believe, the title of the trophy that you would win if you won that conference.
Okay.
So, like, there's the Campbell Trophy and the Wales Trophy.
Okay.
Back in that.
So, I got three little trivia things here for you. See if you can guess any of them. All Do you know what the final score of this game was?
I'm going to say 4-3.
Nope. It was 9-5. Okay.
I was all way off.
Do you know who the MVP of this game was?
You said 89?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Wayne Gretzky's a cop out, but it's hard to argue. Fuck. Yeah, I'm probably going to regret this. Give me Mario Lemieux.
Yeah, you should have just gone with your gut. It was Wayne Gretzky.
God damn it. Yep. I outthought myself. That was my own fault.
Last little trivia question here. What team was Wayne Gretzky on this year?
In 89, that would have been the Kings, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
Kid knows his stuff.
I don't think he joined the Blues until 91. I think he finished his career in 92, 93 with the Rangers.
No idea.
No, not
again, I don't know really anything about that.
You know,
why do you got to do this to me?
What?
I just kept scrolling because I was curious. And it just had to bring up the Super Bowl from 2016.
No, it didn't. It didn't need to do that.
Dude. It didn't need to, but it did. Come on. And now here we are, and I'm sad.
Now he's sad.
I was thinking about it today. I was listening to 97.5 on the way back from work today.
That's a mistake.
And I was thinking about it, and it made me sad because I was like, I wish I was an Eagles fan right now because I miss the feeling of when the Panthers were in the Super Bowl, like the excitement leading up to it. Like, you remember, I had NFL Network on in our room 24/7.
24/7.
And like, I miss that feeling. Like, I want it back. And I just like, we don't have a competent team at the moment.
Yeah.
And like, it's just one of those things. It's like, I wish I was an Eagles fan, but even if I was like, I'm going to go with my city right now and be an Eagles fan, it's just not the same because it's not emotionally invested.
It never will be.
So I'm going to need Carolina Panthers, if you're listening, I'm going to need you to figure your shit out right now so that I can be happy again.
See, I remember just knowing so much about that roster for no reason at all. I'm not a Panthers fan, but I knew so much about that roster. I would watch them make defensive replacements on the line. And I was like, oh, you're going to take out Starla Tutelay on a third down? On a third down? Gary Biggest Body? All right, hey.
What is NFL Network was on 24/7.
I was like, making defensive coordinator decisions for them via my couch, and I'm not even a Panthers fan. So very
we were also huge into Madden at that point, so it was like,
I was big into Madden. I pretty much knew what was going on at all times. I was very big into Madden. That was something. To backtrack to the Joe DiMaggio thing, by the way, like I am looking at photos and he is not a good looking dude. How did he pull Marilyn Monroe? How did we let that happen?
Wait, what?
Oh yeah. They were you look up just Joe DiMaggio on Google, the fifth picture is him and Marilyn Monroe.
Hold on. Because I got to imagine
they got
that
married.
90% of that $100,000 contract went towards paying Marilyn Monroe to hang out with him.
They did. They dated for 2 years and then got married.
Like, that is like a cornerstone case of Reacher and Settler.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he's like a two.
He's not even a two.
Are you looking at this picture where he has like the weird overbite?
Yes.
Yes. And then it's just Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, they were married for less than a year before divorcing. And then remarried friends.
Probably because she realized he was ugly. And she could get any guy that she wanted.
Oh no, they remained friends until they died. Okay. Yeah, like I feel like they dated for 2 years, got married, and they were married for less than a year. What?
Mind blowing.
Oh, apparently they broke up because he wasn't a fan of what she did for work.
No. Look, if only he knew that going into it.
Look, if you're gonna get pissed off at your famous girlfriend who was only famous because she's hot,
the sex symbol of your time.
Yeah, for continuing to be hot after, what do you expect for to get married and everybody else goes, oh no, she's now ugly. Like, that's not how that works.
That's not how that works.
Oh my goodness gracious. Just different times back then, man. Different times. Yeah. Different times. Gotta be said. However, about 20 plus minutes in this episode, not one bit of golf has been talked about.
That's not true. We talked about mayonnaise on the golf course.
That is true. And we did specify the golf.
And that course was what we started with.
Damn right.
So go look, us.
We all know that podcast. Mayo and golf are synonymous. We know this.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
This is known fact.
Dude, could you imagine a golf bag with the logo on it?
Stop. Don't.
That would be sick.
I'm looking this up now if it exists.
That would be sick.
Mayo golf bag. If it exists.
Just a Duke's golf bag?
If it exists, I have to buy it, right? like I, it's a must. Okay, so far, I'm not seeing one. lot of Duke Blue Devils golf bag.
Yeah, but we don't like them.
No, that's don't need all that. Here's the thing, though, and I think I'm seeing this correctly. Yes, you can buy. All right, so here's an idea. So there's a Duke's Mayo like cloth bag, like for when you shop frequently.
Yeah.
What I could do is cut that out and sew it onto a golf bag, and basically be Duke's Mayo's biggest star.
Right? I'm about to just Photoshop this myself onto a picture right now, so we can get a look, you know.
Oh my god, somebody has a tattoo of a cowboy riding a tub of Duke's mayonnaise.
That's amazing.
That's a fantastic tattoo choice. Well done, I must say.
Proud of you.
Look at
no this. I don't want to make bets right now. I'm trying
who
to
is,
find
who is this year's Duke's Mayo Bowl. I think it was Wisconsin this year, wasn't it?
I do not remember.
Yeah, Wisconsin Wake Forest. That's one hell of a Duke's Mayo Bowl if I ever seen one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we are a golf podcast after all, so let's get into that golf. This week we had the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which always it's a fun event, right? Don't get me wrong, it's a fun event for the stars and the professionals that get to play in it. They actually ended up having to finish today instead of on Sunday because of inclement weather. Here's the only thing, though, and it's just a weird thing. So this year, and for a couple of the last couple of years, it struggled to bring in like any like real big names into the field as far as celebrities are concerned. Like, there was only 3 of the top 20 athletes in the world and 1/5 of the top 100 athletes. So, Rick, I'll ask you, is there anything that you think the PGA Tour could do to fix this? Or is this just a circumstance of maybe these athletes just don't want to come out and golf, or you know, they have other things to do? Like, they also decided to do this on the same day as the Pro Bowl. Like, that's...
Yeah, that's true. And funniest story that came out of this whole weekend is that Josh Allen didn't play in the Pro Bowl because easily of a quote-unquote injury and then played in the Pro-Am, which is awesome. Love Josh Allen.
Yeah, I love that choice. That's a great choice.
Yeah,
well, think about it. Would you rather play a flag football game or play rounds at Pebble Beach?
Definitely rounds
at Pebble Beach. The choice is easy. No matter who you are, the choice is easy. Yeah, I don't know if, like, I don't know if there's something they could do, but at the same time, do you think that Pebble Beach deserves a tournament? Do you think it's a course that deserves like maybe even a major if you want to go that far? It's an iconic course. It's just the only PGA event that it gets.
I wouldn't be upset about the fact that they do it, but at the same time, I think this is the best course of action because having celebrities, like people's favorite celebrities at this course, is going to draw the most attention to it. So right. Honestly, like if I'm Pebble Beach, I'm not even mad about the fact that this is the PGA Tour event that I get, and it's not like a regular like full on like major or anything like that. You like that,
dude?
You like, it's a pretty sick bag, right?
That's a bag right there, baby. That's a golf bag.
But I don't think they're upset at all because I think this draws more eyes than a normal golf event does because of the pro-am. So I think it's fine how it is. I think this is good. It's a good kind of ramp into next week with the waste management and getting more eyes from younger people, like people in Arizona, for example, like Arizona State kids that are going to be at the waste management next week. Like right. They might be thinking about golf already this week. And mm-hmm. They're like, I wonder what golf's on right now. If it's going to be any good compared to what's coming here next week. So right. They'll turn it on. They'll be like, oh crap, look at that. Josh Allen's here. And they'll watch the tournament because of that. I think it gets more eyes because it's a pro-am than if it were a regular tournament. And I think they probably love it for that, and they don't want to change it at all.
Right, yeah. And we will talk about the People's Open, because obviously that's coming up, and it's one of the biggest events of the year. But I guess my follow-up question is, do you think that Pebble Beach deserves maybe a second event in a year? Like an actual, like, late season, like, important PGA Tour event. Do you think the course deserves that, or do you think there's a lot of damn good courses that the PGA Tour plays on, and you're kind of just lucky to even have one, you know?
I think I might be kind of biased because the season kind of ends over in our direction.
Right. Yeah.
And I think that might make me a little biased towards the fact, but at the same time, as nice as Pebble Beach is, I think it adds in a little bit too much as far as outside factors to a tournament. So like, for example, the BMW that we were at,
mm-hmm.
The only real outside factor is like the rough and like just the course itself. Yeah. Whereas when you're at Pebble Beach, it's windy. You got all this water, like things can happen. Like freak things can happen. The wind can just take your ball out of nowhere kind of thing. And it can change the whole course of a tournament, which is nice. And it's fun in these kind of tournaments. But I think it would cause a lot of problems with the golfers themselves if they had a significant tournament, like, say, one of the FedEx Cup playoff rounds at this right. course.
Right, and I think that's probably the reason that they do it the way they do it in the first place, is because when you play at courses like that, it's the best golfers there against not just the course, but Mother Nature. When on this side of the country, it's more like the golfers versus the course and a little less about Mother Nature. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you there, and I do also think, like, they get enough money in, like, these ridiculous greens fees that they are always are charging. So really, I think that Pebble Beach will be fine. It's obviously revered as one of the best definitely courses.
They're definitely fine financially. I think if they were going to do another tournament here, though, like a good important tournament, I think they would be better off doing it at Spyglass than Pebble Beach, though, because Spyglass is a little bit more covered. There's a little bit more tree cover and stuff like that to
mm-hmm.
take out some of those other factors. Also, you're not right on the water.
Right, yeah. And, you know,
for most of it anyway.
There's obviously also a little bit of danger when it comes to playing Pebble Beach because of how close to the water you are. I agree with you there. I feel like they're going to be okay. And it's not like anybody's like, oh, Pebble Beach is like a lesser course now. No, it's still one of the most incredible golf courses in the world. Like, it's a top 10 golf course because of where it is, and it will be fine. And also, I really do feel like eventually down the line they probably will get their own pretty serious event.
It wouldn't
surprise me if there's like a PGA championship there, because there was a PGA championship in San Francisco what was that, in 2020, 2019, something like that. So they're not afraid to do like the PGA championship on the West Coast, you know. So I could see it happening, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
But really not a whole lot of news came out of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. Justin Rose comes away with the victory, but it's not a PGA Tour points event. So he didn't move up in the standings or anything like that. But it is worth noting that he is 10th in the FedEx Cup points. So big year for Justin Rose so far.
Yeah. I believe it said that it snapped his drought. I think I saw that somewhere. Yeah, he was having a little bit of a drought.
Which is interesting that he's still 10 in the
as far as wins goes anyway.
Right, yeah. I mean, Justin Rose, and we knew this. It feels like we've forgotten about it recently, but we knew this about 2 years ago. He's one damn good golfer, and let's not forget that in 2020, I believe, he was in the top 10 to finish the year. So, he's not someone to sneeze at. He's a damn good golfer, and he'll show it to you. It's just he does also spend a lot of his golfing time professionally over on the Euro Tour because that's where he got to start, and he likes to go back and play over there, which makes sense. He's English, But, I mean, the thing about this event and the reason that, we don't talk about it a whole lot is because obviously it's not a FedEx Cup point event. And also like we talked about the amateurs that they bring in, the famous people and all that stuff, the names just haven't really been there the last couple of years to really promote it and get people into it. So I'm pretty on this event. I really feel like there could have been a week gap here where he just took a break.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think it's more for the pro-am with the celebrities and stuff than it is anything else.
Right, yeah. And, it is a fun event to watch on TV and stuff, and when there's, really cool celebrities, it's a fun thing to watch, and I get it, but maybe one of these days Pebble Beach will get its time to have another major. I believe they've had a major already. Pebble Beach... Oh, can't spell. Pebble Beach Majors. Yeah, so they've hosted the U.S. Open in 1972, 1982, 1992, 2000, 2010. They've done the PGA Championship. Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah.
It's also pretty hard to be the event that happens before the most important golf tournament of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more important or nerve-wracking than what we're about to have.
Than what we're about to witness, which we're about to get to, folks. Just give us 1 second. We got one more bit of news to get through. And this one's funny. So, we're tired of talking about Liv and all that stuff, tired of talking about, all the drama that goes on with that. One person that kind of we forgot about a little bit who's back, baby, Phil Mickelson. He's back. So
just who we needed to be back.
Just who we needed to see again. He's made his 2023 debut at this week's PIF Saudi International. He called last year a, quote, anomaly. Said, quote, I'm optimistic to see a whole different outlook, a whole different game, a whole different competitiveness, he said. Mickelson has also been much more active on social media, which is a pretty far cry from last year where he just kind of, I thought he deleted his social media, but I guess he just...
Yeah, he was very inactive last year.
Yeah, so he's saying that he's going to be back on the socials. That's not a good PR move,
definitely not. And we saw it already with one of his tweets about if there was a Live Golf...
I think we lost your mic there, buddy.
A little fucky right now.
Oh, there you are.
Is it good again?
Yeah, I got you.
It's gone again.
No, I got you. You're still here.
Is it good?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah, you're solid.
This microphone's being all fucky right now. You didn't see that one?
No, I didn't hear what you said.
Oh, the Phil's tweet about if there was a PGA Tour and Live Golf competition basically right now.
No, what did he say? No,
let me see if I can find it. I think it was a tweet. It was at least like a comment or something on an interview.
Oh my god.
Or you responded to someone. Let me see. Tweets and replies.
What is this? I remember last week we talked about his tweet about.
Here we go. I got it. So, Twitter account Flushing It tweeted, if there was a LIV and PGA Tour team event right now in a Ryder Cup format with Phil and Tiger as captains, it would be the most watched golf event in history. Phil Mickelson replied to this tweet and said, it sounds great, but we would dominate them so soundly and it would be over so quick that TV would have to fill an hour of dead time. That's why it's not happening at this time.
Phil.
What?
What are you doing? That's insane. You can't say that.
A bold statement to make. And then I saw someone on I think it was on Instagram. They did like a matchup kind of thing.
Right.
I don't remember who did it though. And it was like basically players like against each other or whatever. And like the first like six players is like, it's like, okay, this is like a good competition. It was like,
right, this is even
John Rahm versus like Cam Smith and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah.
And then like after the first six, it just gets to like, it gets to like Colin Morikawa versus like, like I forget who it was. I'll just like say it was what's Brooks Koepka's brother's name?
Oh, Chase.
Chase. Yeah, Koepka. It was like Colin Morikawa versus Chase Koepka. Like you think that's gonna be close? Like, come on.
That's gonna be
a bloodbath. Like, come on. The first six. I was like, okay, I could see this going either way because they did get a few big names over there, but like Sergio Garcia versus Justin Thomas, come on.
Yeah. Oh, that's brutal. That'd be deadly.
But yeah, I saw that tweet reply and I was like, Phil.
You can't stop it. So clearly Phil is getting after it on Twitter, which doesn't feel like a good PR move if I'm his PR team. But as somebody who's just a lowly golf commentator on a small media platform, give it to me. Give it 100%. Keep the content flow. Give us something to talk about forever. It's fine for us. Man, that is so funny. We would lose so handily, they'd have to fill an hour of dead time. That is, wow. Yeah. I mean,
those are big words.
Confidence is key, I guess.
Those are big words.
Confidence is key, I guess. But my goodness, just really just from the clouds.
Yeah.
Phew. Bill, buddy. So, he's made his 2023 debut. He's golfing. He's back. He's active on Twitter again. Let's see what kind of content Phil decides to give us in 2023. It could be something. So stay tuned for that. I'm interested to see what happens when it comes to Masters time.
Oh yeah.
Moving forward, one more note. Speaking of the Masters, before we get into the People's Open, Augusta National, the women's amateur event, has changed some rules around this year. Where they are going to the first two rounds at the Champions Retreat will now be broadcast on television, and the cut to see who makes it to the final round at Augusta National will no longer just be the top 30, but it'll be the top 30 and ties. Two awesome rule changes that are going to help grow the women's game, specifically the fact that it's going to be televised. That is some awesome stuff. Always supporting the growth of the women's game, especially on such a huge historic course like Augusta National. I feel like, that never gets any kind of airtime, the Augusta National Women's Amateur. And it's the biggest platform for these graduating golfers from colleges to make their first bids at becoming LPGA Tour pros. Yeah. So this is good stuff. I love it when they do this kind of stuff really support the women's game and that side.
Oh, yeah.
But the reason that we're all here, the reason that we even have a podcast anymore, the reason that the PGA Tour still even exists, as far as I'm fucking concerned, the People's Open. It is Waste Management Week, baby.
It's here.
Oh, my God. So for those of you that don't know what the Waste Management People's Open is, okay? It's the fifth major. Real quick, gonna need you to hit up Google. Right, go on youtube.com. Just search 16th hole Waste Management Phoenix Open. Watch mayhem ensue. It's one of the greatest sporting events, moments, places to be of all time. My buddy at work, big golf guy, right? He was telling me that he has friends in Arizona right now. And they're like, tell me about this Waste Management thing. Should we go to it? And all he did was send him a video of who was it that made that hole in one last year?
I do not remember.
Was it Sam Ryder? I think it was Sam Ryder, right?
It might have been. I'm trying to
remember. Yes, Sam. He just sent them a video of Sam Ryder's hole in one the 16th last year. And they were like, book it. We're going. We'll so first of all, that's huge. This is how you grow the game, because those people don't watch golf. This is precisely how you grow the game. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of stuff that you take a step back, and as much as we absolutely dunk on the PGA Tour for making so many boneheaded decisions, this tournament and the way that the hype is moving around this tournament and how the PGA Tour is letting that hype resonate is a huge win.
Oh yeah.
Here's some comments from some of the golf.com commentators here. Zach, what's his last name? Goodness gracious. Dang it. He's a fairly famous commentator on golf.com. Don't have his last name, but here's what he had to say about the waste management. He said, it's officially the fifth major. The hype is so significant. The investment is so genuinely directed toward excitement. It's a course that tests players and puts them in a meat grinder mentally at the finish. The golf isn't the most interesting at all times, but that's never been the focus. The tour members call the Players' Championship the fifth major because it's a truly players' test. However, this is a fan favorite far above all others, and that's worth something. To hell with the Players being the fifth major. I don't give a hot damn. The waste management's better to watch, as far as I'm concerned.
This is it. I was looking for a meme that I saw the other day, but I couldn't find it, and it was like, how I describe the 16th green at waste management to people. And it was literally like a football stadium and then just like a hole in the middle of it, like a golf ball in the middle of it.
That's what it feels like, though. That's what I have.
That's like how everybody describes it, though. Like someone asks you about it, they're like, oh, stadium seating. Like it's lit. And it's literally like not that much, but like the way you talk about it, it sounds like 50,000 people are sitting around this one golf hole.
But the thing about it really is like, it's like the whole scene, there's like, for most of the hole, it's just like on top of each other's sweet boxes. But right on the green is where all those fucking degenerates come together, right? Uh-huh. Half of which probably don't golf. The other half, all they do is talk about golf and play golf, right? Yeah. And they all come together. Double fist and Michelob Ultras. Hammering those bad boys all day. By the time that first group gets to the 16th hole, everybody's shit wasted. Uh-huh. And that's when the magic truly begins. And that's what I believe in. Is that to encapsulate that magic truly and to feel it would be something incredible. Oh, just it's a dream of mine to get to watch a whole day of golf from that hole. It's a dream of
That'd
mine.
Be sick.
People line up from 3 a.m., starting at 3 a.m.,
uh-huh,
at the door, just to be able to run to that hole and get seats.
And not watch anything for the first 16 holes of the day.
No, for the first 16 holes of the day, they're going in blind. I don't know how...
For those of you who don't golf, which I'm assuming is none of you, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
Holes, 16 holes can be like over 2 hours.
Do you know how many beers I can tank in 2 hours with nothing to watch?
I was going to say, with nothing else going on, like...
You got nothing else to do, man, and you're not paying $24 for a sandwich. No. You'll pay $24 for 2 beers, though.
That's I'm crushing beers and mayonnaise all day.
Dude, beers, mayonnaise, golf. Print the shirt. We should do that.
I can make that happen.
Beer, mayo, golf. The waste management Phoenix Open.
Duke's waste management Phoenix Open.
Oh my God, could you imagine if waste management is like, doesn't do it anymore, and then it's the Duke's Mayonnaise Phoenix Open.
That would be sick.
Rick, we're on to something here. So you know how like it's really cool how the tee boxes, the tip markers have the trash trucks?
Yeah.
Imagine instead a tub of mayonnaise as your tee markers.
I'm there for it.
Oh my God. This is incredible. If we ever get big enough to like host an event or something along those lines, we have to get Dukes.
We're only getting sponsored by Dukes.
It has to be. Every hole is sponsored by Dukes. Each hole has a Dukes recipe, how to make a specific type of food with mayonnaise.
When you're on a hiking trail and it has the things about the woods or whatever.
Yes!
Or like when you're mini golfing and every hole has like a little story and it's like you're in the Sahara Desert right now and you're like, I am clearly not in the Sahara Desert, but tell me about it.
But go ahead. I want to hear more about this. Oh my God, they have socks. Rick, look at this.
Duke's mayonnaise socks. Mayo
socks. That's incredible. What I was going to do is you know, sometimes websites will have like about us. I hear the history section. Yes, give it to me. Every hole is going to have like a small snippet of the timeline of Duke's Met. Look at this. 10% off my order. Yes, please. All I got to do is put in my phone number. In 1881, Eugenia Thomas was born in Columbus, Georgia, the 10th of 10 children. 19-year-old Eugenia Thomas marries Harry Duke. The Dukes moved to Greenville, South Carolina, famous for its golf, by the way, for Harry's job at Southern Power Company. Eugenia Duke starts selling sandwiches with her favorite homemade mayonnaise to soldiers at Fort Sevier. That's right. She was feeding soldiers with Duke's mayonnaise. By the time, like at that point, you're at the fifth hole. You're already sold into the Dukes.
Yeah. So here's my thing though. Not that I'm knocking mayonnaise at all.
Of course, right?
But who invented mayonnaise? Who thought that that was going to be good? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like well, it's delicious obviously, but like the person who made it, it's like the person who found milk. Like what made you do that?
Yeah, realistically it's mostly just three ingredients, right? It's egg, salt, and onion. There's not a whole lot else going on. Well, here we go. Main ingredients. Oil, egg, vinegar, lemon juice, and onions optional. Yeah, so really it's your base is oil, egg, yolk, vinegar, or lemon juice. And then, boom, you have mayo. You're right. Who thought that that was a good idea?
It was like, my sandwich is a little bland. Let me put some eggs on it with lemon juice and...
So apparently, it appeared for the first time in 1806 in France. The hypothesis invoked over time as to the origins of mayo have been numerous and contradictory. We got some mayo drama. most hypotheses do, however, agree on the geographical origin of the sauce Mahon in Menorca in Spain. So it's either Spanish or French. I'm getting mixed reviews here. However, no, you're right. I don't know who thought mayo was a good idea, but the Duke's Mayo Phoenix Open arguably sounds better than the Waste Management. But to get back to the golf a little bit here, Rick, I want to ask you, do you think the hype around the Waste Management is because this is usually the event where the season really gets on a roll and like everybody's back? Or do you think it's because of what happened last year?
I don't even think it's because of what happened last year. I think it's just because of the fact that it's a college party. Like, there's obviously people who hate the fact that beers got thrown on the 16th green last year.
Right, right.
And
right.
Those people can just go watch, like, tennis or something. Because this is the future of golf. Whether you like it or not, degenerates who drink and smoke and do all this other stuff on the golf course are who are keeping golf alive at this point. And I think this is such a big tournament because, let's face it, the golfers want eyes on them. They're performers. They're athletes. They want people to realize and see.
They are all the time. Did my mic?
Yeah, your mic got – you started using the – computer mic. Oh, there you go. You're back.
I don't know what's going on. They want to perform for people. And this is like the best opportunity to do it because every single college kid that's there is posting this on their story.
Mm-hmm.
And every single one of their friends is like, what is this? And they're looking at it and they're sharing it with their friends. And then it's just getting eyes. The golfers love it. The fans love it. And it's just all around like a good tournament. And it would be so fun to be at it. Even if you're not on the 16th green, I feel like it's still just like would be an awesome tournament because, again, it's right on the campus of Arizona State. So you got all these drunk college kids who are just having a good time. And it's different than a normal event, because a normal event is like kind of uppity,
right?
Which is what golf is getting away from at this point. And the waste management is, it just encapsulates what golf currently is.
Yeah. And not only that, but like there's a reason that it's been nicknamed the greenest show on grass. I just recently found out that was his nickname here.
That's awesome.
Fucks. But like there's not only did last year happen, obviously we understand that that's massive for the sport. Like people have differing opinions and all that stuff, but you're right. That is the future of golf and how it should be. And also the fact that a lot of the tournament isn't even about the golf is kind of why it's awesome. But also, as far as the players are concerned, let's not forget that now they have these designated events where the money's bigger, and this is the first one of the season.
True, I forgot about that.
This is the first tour-designated event, so you know the field's going to be huge. There's so many good golfers that are going to be there because this is now the first of the big-money events that we're going to be having throughout the season. Not only that, but Super Bowl 57 is also in Arizona on Sunday.
This is like the biggest weekend ever for Arizona.
If you live in Arizona, this weekend is going to be mayhem.
Arizona might just collapse.
Mm-hmm.
As a whole.
whole state might just done.
Yeah, it might. There's a chance.
If y'all feel like a small little rumble, you know what it is.
Here's the thing. The Phoenix Open is already wild because of everything that goes on there.
Right.
But the other thing is you have two of the craziest, which I just found this out this year that they're this hardcore, but you have two of the craziest fan bases in the NFL. Uh-huh. Like, do you know how crazy Kansas City Chiefs fans are?
Oh yeah. Dude, Red Kingdom, like, they're nuts.
They're like nuts. Worse. They're like not worse, but like they're like almost, if not more dedicated than Eagles fans. Like, people are traveling for this, and I know the Super Bowl is mostly just like celebrities and like it's
you're
a
rich people. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a rich people show kind of, but everybody who's able to afford tickets, that's an Eagles or a Chiefs fan will be there.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be wild. And anybody who can't afford tickets to there, like, I think it would still be awesome. Like if I was an Eagles fan or a Chiefs fan and I was also a golf fan, I would go to Arizona this weekend. Be there for the Phoenix Open and watch the Super Bowl there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that would be one of the greatest sporting environments, I feel like, ever.
Because realistically, what you could do, right? What you easily could do, you could spend probably $1,000+ less money on the full tournament pass to get there for every day from Thursday to Sunday. Watch all the golf, watch the golf end on Sunday. Go back to whatever hotel, bar, whatever you want to go to, watch a Super Bowl. And probably spend less money than the face value of a Super Bowl ticket, almost guaranteed. Here, let's do the comp right now. Super Bowl tickets. Never in my life would I ever Google that ever again. all right, so right now what we're looking at, lowest, $4,800. So we're looking at lowest right now.
$4,800 for the lowest one.
$4,800, right? Okay, so Waste Management, Phoenix Open. Okay. Let's go to the website. See if we can get tickets. Okay. Let's see what the full package would be like, right? Ticket incorporated. Yeah, okay, here we go. We're assuming we're just going general admission here.
Yeah.
I hope that somebody's like maybe was on the fence of doing this and like this podcast is pushing them over the edge.
Yeah. So, and we're like making their decision for them. So Thursday at the Waste Management, I don't know if you can find like everyday pass. I don't know if that's something that you can look up here. But I'm looking at Thursday right now and you can get a Thursday ticket for like $60.
Yeah. So this is before taxes. So Monday, Tuesday for the practice rounds, free, if you wanted to go to those. Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday are $50 a pop. So think about it, if you're doing the whole thing, you got 50 on Thursday, 75 Friday, 75 Saturday. Okay, so now we're at, what is that, 175 for the three?
Yeah.
And then
think, what was it again?
So it's going to be 50-50, 75-75.
75-75 is 150, so 250, yeah.
For the entire weekend, 200, not just the whole entire weekend, the entire tournament, 200.
Tuesday to Sunday, $250.
$250.
Or the Super Bowl for $4,800.
You could get the fanciest fucking hotel. You could buy any drink, any food you wanted.
You could fly first class.
You could fly there. First class. And you could afford this vacation to go watch the Waste Management Phoenix Open for probably under the price of one single ticket to the Super Bowl. If you're the person that I was hypothetically talking about right now, sitting in your car wondering if you should do this, do it.
You should do it.
Hit pay.
You should definitely do it.
If you're driving your car, park first. Don't do this while you're driving, but
yes,
do this. I hope it's John. I hope John is like, I just hit purchase.
But he just texts the golf group chat and is like, I will not be at the event this weekend. I will be in Arizona.
Going to Arizona, baby. Now, it's just, this is one of the coolest events, and it obviously it is partially because of the 16th hole being as awesome as it is. But also, it's TPC Scottsdale, which is a PGA sanctioned course.
It's a TPC course. All TPC courses are nice.
I mean, remember, the TPC Sawgrass is the Players, which
yeah.
A lot of the PGA Tour pros will consider to be the fifth major. But this in my eyes, is the fifth major, and the Players
yeah.
Is the sixth
major. The Players is definitely the sixth major. Well, maybe the seventh, because the John Deere Classic has to be the sixth.
Right. We got to really – you got to give the John Deere Classic the respect that it deserves, you know. go Iowa.
Big names there every year.
But obviously, like, we call it the People's Open. It's one of the coolest events of the season. And one of my favorite bits is, if you remember a couple episodes ago, I was talking about how I'm doing, you know, like a fantasy golf type of thing this year. This is the first event of said Ooh. Fantasy golf event. So – I'm in. My picks are locked. I got my two guys for this week.
Who do we got?
Guy number one, Max Homa.
Okay.
I'm riding the hot hand. I'm riding the hot. Look, he's playing hot. And if there's one thing that dude loves, it's frat bro energy.
Didn't he just join the golf league with Tiger and Rory?
Yeah. Yep. He's in
for that. He was one of the two, right?
Yes. And then also, let's not forget that the guy won last week's tournament, right? Turned around and went ahead and won $500 at his local municipal golf tournament on Monday. Because you could. That's the kind of energy I want to support, right? So Max Homa, first guy. Second guy, X going to give it to you. Give me Xander Schauffele, Olympic gold medalist,
okay.
U.S. Wonder Boy. Those are my two picks for the Waste Management. And I'll tell you what, I'm feeling pretty damn good about it. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm feeling good. But we do, unfortunately for our brains, have to go through Rob Bolton's power rankings. Something that we do every episode here, folks. We got to do the power rankings. Here we are. Rick, you know the rules. Top five, no specific order. Try to put them in the right order. Are you ready?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Colin Morikawa, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, and Xander Schauffele.
Okay.
I would also like the record to show I did not I put my picks in this afternoon before these power rankings were posted. So the whole Xander being the top five thing.
What was the second name you said again?
Scottie Scheffler.
The third name.
Third name was Rory McIlroy.
Okay, what was the first one? I can't. One of them I'm missing, and I guess it's the first one.
Tom Morikawa?
Morikawa, that's what
there it is. Yeah, it's the first one.
Okay, so I'm going to go X5, Rory 4, Rahm 3, Morikawa 2, Scheffler 1.
No.
Darn it.
Didn't get any of them.
Not even close?
No.
I don't understand.
You know, one of these times you're going to knock my socks off and get all five in a row, and I'm going to be
maybe. Like,
what happened? Because you've only done it once, but I also knew that you looked.
Yeah.
So it felt cheap. But now here's how it goes. Number five, Scottie Scheffler.
Oh, okay.
Number four is Andrew Shoffley. Number three, Colin Morikawa.
Right off the bat, break my heart.
number two, John Rahm. And number one, Rory McIlroy. Yeah, right out the gate. Wrong.
This is not even close.
So wrong. All right, Rob. Let's see what BS you're gonna go with now. Number five, Scotty Scheffler. For all he's already accomplished, this is his first ever title defense. T7 here the year prior. So yeah, he's comfy. Then again, that could be said just about everywhere. Always in form. Yeah, but I feel like he's better than a five on this list.
Yeah, I don't know.
No offense to Colin Morikawa. Could easily see a swap here.
Feels kind of forced.
Feels a little forced.
Him being five seems forced.
Yeah, it's like you just wanted to like really emphasize. You're like, look, I'm not just going to ride his coattails all season long. You have John Rahm in the number two spot yet again. Number four, Xander Schauffele. Since first qualifying in 2018, all he's done is go 5-for-5 at TPC Scottsdale, all for a top 20. In the last two editions, he's been beaten by only three guys, T3, T13, since withdrawing back at Kapalua. He's on a hot streak here, and he plays well on this course. That's kind of some of the reasons that I picked him for my choice for the fantasy golf thing. It's just I've seen him play really well here. Last year, he was in the top five consistently the entire time. Uh-huh. I liked it. Number three, Colin Morikawa. What's the closest you can get to something without touching it? While he didn't put away the century, he still plays second. He answered with a third at the Farmers, second start at the Waste Management. I think there's something to be said. Colin Morikawa is playing some hot golf right now.
Yeah, I mean, it might have just been a quote-unquote sophomore slump, even though it wasn't his sophomore year. Because he didn't play horrible last year. He just wasn't the Colin Morikawa that we were used to seeing in years prior. So yeah. I think it might just be one of those things where like he just needed to kind of take a year to figure out where he was at and get back on track. And I think we might be there.
Yeah, he wasn't like PGA Championship winning Colin Morikawa that we were used to seeing. He was just like a good golfer. But he's on a hot streak right now, you know. Couldn't win the century, unfortunately, but he was in second. Third at the Farmers, and now he's back at the Waste Management. Let's see if he continues the hot streak. I'm interested to see. Number two, John Rahm. It's one thing not to care that he's the board favorite, which he has fairly claimed, but it's another to be on the kind of heater upon arrival at the only tour stop in his college town, Forks Up. I forgot John Rahm went to college here. That might have impacted my choices here.
That explanation basically tells me he literally said without saying it, I wanted to put him at one, but I knew that I would hear about it. So I put him at two.
Because it would be the fourth week that he put John Rahm at one.
Yeah.
Now, granted, two of those 4 weeks, John Rahm did win. Okay. Yeah. That did
happen. But his wording there was literally just him saying, I wanted to put him at one, but I knew I'd hear about it. So he's at two.
And then ending it with the Forks Up, it's like, okay, now you're just actively rooting for him. I'm hearing.
We know you wanted him at one. Just put him at one.
You don't have to be objective here. Yeah. Not being...
There was 12 weeks last year where Scotty Scheffler was number one. For good reason. He was playing really good golf. Same thing right now with John Rahm. He's playing really good golf. If you think that's who's number one, just do it. Like, no one cares.
Put him in number. It's not that hard. Not that hard.
We will make fun of you, but it's not that big a deal. Because we're nobody.
Oh, my God. Oh, Rob Bolton. Number one, though, and I'm kind of on board with it, Rory McIlroy. Won again in Dubai 2 weeks ago. It's absurd how well he's performing and under the circumstances of the moment, but he's played his best when the challenge is greatest. He's Rory McIlroy, and ever since the FedEx Cup playoffs last year, dude's been on a full-blown heater.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what happened. I don't know who said what to him or what's going on. Obviously, the Patrick Reed things got him fired up. Maybe not the thing to do is piss Rory McIlroy off.
Maybe not.
I'm not gonna lie. My timbers are a little shivered thinking about the Ryder Cup right now. I'm a little scared that John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, hot right now. In this top five, there are three U.S. Ryder Cup players in this top five. None of them are in the top two. That scare nobody else, just me.
Not good. Not
am I the only one thinking of this?
Very not good.
Am I the only one thinking of the Ryder
Cup? You may be the only person thinking about the Ryder Cup right now, yes.
This is like a direct microcosm of what we were talking about with the Panthers thing, where like, I'm not a Panthers fan, but like, I knew so much about the team, I felt invested. I'm sitting here like, okay, we got a whole top five here. We got three American Ryder Cup players. Not a single one in the top two. The other top two are arguably the two best players in Europe, but then I'm going to where's the rest of the field?
The Ryder Cup's not for 6 months yet, but I'm worried.
And all right, we got Patrick Kane, Max Homer, 6'7", but then boom, there's Matt Fitzpatrick in the top 15. I don't know what to do here. That's how my brain works. It's weird, okay? It's fine though. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Go USA. But hey, it's gonna be one hell of a tournament. This is one of those tournaments that you could watch Thursday and Friday if you wanted to. They did say on golf.com, we were talking about it, it's not always the most exciting golf to watch of all time. But yeah, when it comes down to Saturday and Sunday, and that 16th hole is packed to the brim,
yeah, with
loud fans, and you can feel that energy when someone's got like a 10-footer for birdie and they just watch somebody birdie and you got to stay close because you're one of the final groups. It's an energy, man.
Yeah,
it's a full energy, and I'm so excited to get that content this weekend. Oh, it's going to be so good. But unless you got any other pending golf news, Rick, that's going to do it for this episode.
That's all I got.
All righty, folks. As always, and maybe even more importantly, due to it being episode 100, thank you, thank you, thank you. The fact that we are under 50 listens away from hitting the 2,000 goal, when it literally felt like maybe 20 episodes ago we were clawing to get to 1,000, it feels like we continuously reach these new milestones. And we're just so bad at being active on social media. I don't know how we're getting to you people. Maybe it's word of mouth. I don't know. But we so appreciate it, what you guys have, you know, been doing for us, helping us become and giving us the confidence to be able to get on here and do it. Look, is this 100th episode? Is it sponsored by Duke's Mayonnaise? It's possible. I'm not going to lie. Rick might have put together one of the better memes that we are going to have. Like, I need to set alarms to make sure I post this tomorrow. This is important, folks. This is our 100th episode, and it's Duke's Mayonnaise important.
Oh yeah.
And for those of you that are listening and actually like follow us on social media and maybe even know us personally, send us a message. If you think that you would buy, like, say it's a green t-shirt and it's like it's just in bold big lettering, three words with a period after all of it, and it just says golf mayo beer, would you buy it? I'd wear it. I'm not gonna lie.
Is that the order that it has to be in?
No, we can change the order. What would you do?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what would be the best order to put it in.
I think it's funny having mayo before beer.
Is it too ironic to do mayo first?
I think the best part is that all four are four. All three words are four-letter words. I think that's the best bit.
That's true.
You could do this order anytime you want to. Hey, while you message us, put it in an order that you think would be funniest.
Yeah.
Even if it's
or make an acronym beer for us, because I wish it was an acronym.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a good one. That's the only problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, again, we digress. Thank you so much for listening to what we do here. We very much appreciate it. You guys are the best. Our listeners, yeah, just rock. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, we out.
Thanks, guys. See you later.